This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Welcome to this special impromptu live broadcast of the Star Wars in Character podcast. I'm Matt from the podcast and from NeoZaz.com. If you are just browsing around live stream and happen to stumble upon us, welcome. If you saw my Facebook post and decided to join me for this, thank you and welcome as well. And if you're listening to this on iTunes or watching on our website, thanks for viewing and welcome to you as well. What this is about is if you've been following the show or if you're a subscriber of the show, you certainly know that we had our 25th episode live event just a week ago. And you probably also recall that Hurricane Irene was actually hit the Northeast that weekend. And you may know that Dave and Chris record in Pennsylvania, which was that part of Pennsylvania is right in the path of the hurricane. But one thing I don't think we talked about, and we just didn't get to it, was that Chris had lost power pretty much when the hurricane hit the Northeast. And in fact, did not have power up until the morning of the day of the live broadcast. So we weren't sure we were actually going to be able to do that show that day itself. So we came up with a plan B, and that was we put together some clips from our first 12 episodes to put together a best of show that I was going to host live, so we had some kind of live stream since we had talked about it for a week, maybe two, up to that point. But of course, as you know, everything worked out. Chris's power came on in plenty of time for him to take care of anything he needed to do, hurricane related or whatnot, and get communications going. And we connected all three of our locations without a problem. Did the show, had an absolute blast on that show. Can't wait to do it again. And thanks for everyone that participated. And we hope you can join us again when we do it. But now we're to the point where we were going to take a week off between the live show and when we're going to record our new episodes. And we had all these clips for this live best of show that never happened. So we figured, well, instead of throwing away all that effort and deleting the clips, we'll just actually do that live show or the best of show between the live episode and when the regular shows pick up. So that's what this is. So now with that long explanation out of the way, we'll get started. We're going to start with the very first episode of Star Wars in Character, episode 1, where we discuss the character Lobot from Empire Strikes Back. And this clip is entitled, Dave Dislikes the Backstories.
Well, I know that this is our pilot episode, and yes. I'm going to say this now and probably every episode after. If George Lucas didn't write it, to me it's not Star Wars.
Tim, Clone Wars.
We'll talk about Clone Wars on another time.
All right.
No, it astounds me that you're perfectly accepting of things George Lucas actually wrote. But that's another conversation, too.
It's another podcast.
But this is all stuff from books, right, Tim? I mean, this has nothing to do with anything. It's way after the fact.
Yeah, it's not like George was sitting around throwing out stories to people. This was, I'm assuming that these all came from, there was a book that came out maybe 10, 12 years ago, like stories from, Tales from Bespin's Cloud City. And I'm assuming that this is where this backstory for Lobot came from.
Okay. That was along the lines with the Tales from Jabba's Palace and the Tales from Mos Eisley.
Yeah,
those
the cantina. Yeah, exactly.
Those were actually half decent, but, I started reading his stuff and I was like, I don't remember any of this. None of this stuff happened to me. It wasn't until the very end of what I was reading that it was like, oh yeah. And then he was in this movie called The Empire Strikes Back.
So you're okay with the entire lifespan of every character in the Star Wars galaxy only equates to 12 hours? Is that what you're saying? I mean, you can't accept that there needs to be backstories that these characters have lived lives before what you saw on screen?
For somebody like this, it's so insignificant.
Okay.
For him to have such a detailed backstory,
everybody
to me is ridiculous. Some of the characters, you know, you want to get into the stuff with Boba Fett and all that stuff. But for this guy, He's a lamppost.
All he has on fucking turn signals on his head. When I swear there's a scene where he's walking and the left one blinks, he turns fucking left.
He's got to let the people behind him know where he's going.
Look left, right, and then left again.
That would be insanely useful, actually. Especially like in Disney World or something.
I think the need to give a backstory to him. I guess Lobot's kind of a cult character. He's always been, you know, he's always sort of been there. Everybody, when you
that
say
is
Lobot,
the lamest
if anybody
ever,
knows
the cult
Star
of Lobot.
Yeah, the cult of Lobot. If you say the name Lobot, anybody who has just any sort of peripheral knowledge of Star Wars knows exactly who you're talking about. You don't, you know, like, and even people who have only seen the movies once or twice, if you say that bald guy with the weird thing on his head, people know who you're talking about.
We're not talking about the black guy in the orange jumpsuit carrying the ice cream maker.
They made a figure for that guy.
Oh shit! I am totally unprepared for this now. I thought we were talking about someone else.
That guy's name was Wilrow Hood. I know that.
Oh,
I'm joining us.
Wilrow Hood.
So after a few more episodes, I think Dave's a little more tolerant on that stance. I wouldn't say he likes some of the backstories, but his tolerance has changed. Like I said, particularly I can think of General Dodonna. He complimented the backstory, and I think you could say he even defended Queen Jamilia, the character at least, based on some of the backstory Tim shared in that episode. So check those episodes out. Again, General Dodonna and Queen Jamilia. I believe they are episodes 19 and 24. So moving on here, we get to our second episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast. This time we are talking about Watto from episodes 1 and 2 of the Star Wars saga. This clip is simply titled Watto's Pizza Shop.
Aww. The funniest thing was when they walked in for the very first time when they met him in episode 1 and they walked into his shop. There was like a doorbell, like when you walk into like a convenience store, like it's like bing bong.
Yeah, like a sensor, yeah.
Hey, what do you know?
Like a pizza shop.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my wife was not watching and she wouldn't be caught dead, but she was doing something in the background and she said she assumed he was Italian.
Yeah.
Because of the way he was talking.
Bobbity booby.
Because he even says, let me take you back. Yeah.
Pepperoni.
Bibbity bop, bobbity boo. Boogada bapa.
Boogada bapa. And when he makes the deal with Qui-Gon, they slap hands. Yeah. They like high five each other. So that was kind of weird.
Was weird.
I think Watto is a really, there's a lot of layers to that particular character. And I think when you stop and you think about it, is he say what you will about the prequels as a character. I think he's a very interesting and a pretty fascinating study.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of the things that I can say that I can stomach about episode one. And it's probably mostly because of the portrayal. I think it's pretty good. And then, like you said, the animation. How old is Anakin when he's bought as a slave? Because Watto really,
Gardilla the Hutt at age 3, or he wins them in a bet with Gardilla the Hutt at age 3, and he wins. He and Shmi.
So this is all bullcrap made up after the fact.
They mention in the movies like that. I think Anakin says something to the effect of that he was owned by Gardilla the Hutt and Watto had obtained him somehow, but they don't really go into detail.
So Watto really raises Anakin in a way.
He's the closest to a father figure.
I will be your father.
I will be your father.
Because I guess Shmi would be his moral
his character. Upbringing. Yeah.
And Watto, I guess, was just sort of utilizing Anakin was a slave, but he was utilizing him as a talented mechanic, and he saw some potential as a pod racer, and according to his backstory, he used Anakin in several pod races, which Anakin says he never won in the movie. He says he's been in a few, but he's never won one, never finished one, actually.
So yeah, but Tim, in a way, like, you know how teachers today supposedly mold the youth of our future. So in a way, Watto molded Anakin Skywalker's brain for his future.
Listen to that.
Look at that.
That's pretty deep. Maybe
maybe he got that sense of possessiveness, which is which was the downfall of Anakin. His
bad writing is the downfall of Anakin.
His need to possess Padme or whatever. But that's neither here nor there.
Or over here.
Well, what's your second fact there, Tim?
Oh, God, that was just one fact?
Yeah, 2 hours later.
And if you're just joining us, this is a special live broadcast of the best of Star Wars in character. It was our plan B if we didn't get to pull off the 25th live episode because of Hurricane Irene, which of course we did, but we decided to do this anyway. Since we had the weekend to fill with no Star Wars in character, we're doing a best of. Whew. Anyway, so we're going to move on to episode 3. Now, one thing that you may not know, we may not have even said it, and there's no real reason to, but just a little behind the scenes kind of thing. We typically record at least 2 episodes each time we do this, just so we have a nice buffer, because we have jobs and well, the other guys have lives, maybe not me, but we have other things that come up and can't always do a week-to-week recording. So the first 2 episodes you just heard were essentially all one pilot episode. That's where we kind of got the, you know, feel of how we are going to work together on the microphones, who's going to say what, how the show's going to flow. So really, it wasn't until this episode 3 that we kind of knew what we wanted to do. And so we're a little more comfortable up to this in this episode. So with that, we started to talk a little more about personal things doing with Star Wars. And the point I'm trying to get to is that, you know, action figures and stuff we did with them, played with them as a kid, finally came up. So from that, this clip from episode 3 about Momo Nadon, also known as Hammerhead, is entitled Hammerhead Figure Memories.
Not more than an hour or so ago, we watched the scene, the only scene that he's in the very first Star Wars movie.
Yes.
With a stopwatch.
I want to ask Matt and Tim, give us what you think how long he is in the movie.
How long is Hammerhead on screen? We have an official number.
We do.
You may have already just a few minutes ago.
Would say minimum 4 seconds, no more than 8 seconds.
Pretty good, Tim.
Tim knows his shit.
He's on screen for 5.6 seconds.
Yep.
Woo!
And your backstory was about 5 minutes. So he's a farmer. He's kind of like E.T. Like, oh, they God. Were like,
well, that's yeah. Actually, there is a resemblance.
The fingers.
There is.
He's got E.T. fingers.
Wow.
I don't think you saw his fingers in the movie.
Just on the action figure.
Yeah.
Now here's a question. Bringing up the action figure. Why did Hasbro or Kenner or whoever that put the first ones out decide to give him a blue shirt?
It was cold.
A tank top, no less.
A tank top.
I don't think that were actual photos of the full costume or of the full character. I think the only photos that were probably given to Kenner were probably of just that one shot.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I looked at that shot too. I didn't time it like those two dorks, but I watched it and he's clearly wearing a brown something. Why was it a blue wife beater when they did the figure?
Actually, he's wearing an old lady bathing suit is really what he's wearing.
From the 40s.
Because the blue wife beater made him look way more badass than a little, and plus the gun than of a botanist or whatever he was.
when I was a kid, the Hammerhead was actually the first ever Star Wars figure I got. I won it at some picnic. And I think this was before I had ever actually seen.
That's got to be the lamest story you've ever told, I think. And that's a long list, man.
It was, I won it at some picnic as like I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I probably hadn't even seen Star Wars in terms of memory, but I just remember Hammerhead is the first figure I ever got.
Was it used? Like half the paint when I was rubbed off?
No, it was still in the package. Okay. And everybody got a prize at this picnic thing, and mine was Hammerhead.
They did that with a lot of the figures. The Greedo wasn't wearing the clothes. He wore the Walrus man. I mean, they were all off. You'd think the people at Kenner could have plunked down another $3 and watched the movie and took some notes.
Sure, yeah. I mean, mixed another shade of brown. We didn't have to go blue. Please, and if he's clearly a botanist, why did they arm him? And a priest or whatever he is.
Where's his collar at?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. This is so flawed.
I remember, though, having this action figure as a kid, and I used to go around the house, seriously, like hammering stuff to get on the head.
That's awesome.
So you didn't take it as his head looked like a hammerhead shark?
No. You I didn't took even, it as, like, as an a actual, hammer. Right. Yeah, seriously, I did.
Oh. What did you do with Princess Wrench Legs?
I fixed my bike.
So if you have listened to past episodes of this show, you have certainly heard about the autograph collecting that Chris and Tim do. And they have, if you haven't seen pictures of it online or saw them this kind of show it off in the post show of the live episode we did, they have incredibly impressive. They use movie posters and get everyone they can to sign it. I mean, they have signatures from Mark Hamill down to the guy that got coffee for Mark Hamill. Anyone that had anything to do with Star Wars, if they were available, they could find them. If they were at a convention, they got their signature. So, inevitably, there's some celebrity encounter stories that Chris and Tim have shared on the show. And that is what we are featuring from the fourth episode of Star Wars in Character about Shaak Ti. And that clip from this for this segment is called Orly's a Nice Girl.
The actress who portrayed Shaak Ti in episode 2 and all of the deleted scenes of episode 3 is an actress / model, Orly Shoshin, who is a former Israeli soldier adept in hand-to-hand and melee weapon fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'd let her take me down.
Oh, man. Yeah, she is a fox.
Have you guys met her?
We have.
Yep. Actually, it's funny. We were at one of the Wizard Worlds, and I think it might have been Wizard 2004 or 2005, and they had this neat game set up. It was a recreation of some training thing that Ben Affleck used in the movie Payback or Paycheck. What is that? Do you know the movie I'm talking about? That John Woo movie he did?
Paycheck.
Yeah, where you have this like bow staff with pads at the end. You have to hit these buttons when the sound would come off. And I was standing there watching it because I thought it was really cool. And you pay $5, you could do it yourself. But I was standing there, and all of a sudden, Orly Shoshin is standing there next to me. And I sort of look over at her, and I said something to the effect of, oh, you'd probably be pretty good at this. And she just looks at me and goes, yeah. And
you're like, little schoolgirl.
She talked to me. But no, she – but yeah, it was just sort of – I don't really have any other – when we met her, because I think we've met her twice, she's just kind of a nice girl. Not
yeah, it sounded real nice. She didn't yeah. answer any of her questions for the show, too. Yeah, she's freaking awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, she wasn't very talkative, and to be honest, I mean, what questions could I possibly have had for her?
Why are you so hot?
What's your number? They can't
as an actress, Orly has only appeared in Star Wars related things. She is currently a fashion designer living in Chicago, and I'm waiting for these photos to come out. She is working at a new lingerie line called Mia Luce.
Tim.
I actually did a search to see if there were actually if she has photos up of her in lingerie.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not the last time you're going to do that search, too.
No. And now that I know she's working on it, it's every day, every Monday.
Just do every a Google app. Alert, dude.
Yeah. It's like, please. But no, there were no photos.
Show me something.
Left nipple.
You went over the line, Tim.
And that's all I got.
All right.
I had to say during this whole episode, every time he said Shaak Ti, it made me think it was like a failed energy drink from the 90s.
When I play a hard game, I like to relax with a cool, fresh Shaq tea. It's got all the carbohydrates and electrolytes the body craves.
Kazam. now playing.
Now, all right, with three proofs of purchases of Shaq tea, you can have free admission to steal.
Are you done, Shaq?
Yeah. All right. So you are listening to and or watching a special live episode, a best of episode of the Stars and Character podcast. It was our plan B in case Hurricane Irene prevented us from doing episode 25, which it did not, of course, but we decided to do this anyway. I want to take a minute to do the shameless plug. This is something we usually don't do. I don't think we've ever done it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Of course, I want to thank everyone for their continued support in the podcast. And another great way you can support us is by shopping our Amazon store at www.swic.neozaz.com/shop. That is, if you're looking to or planning to buy the Blu-rays, which I'm sure most Star Wars fans are, myself included, consider buying them through our store. It's a direct purchase from Amazon. You get their same great price. In fact, the pre-order right now is $50 below retail, and there's free shipping, and we do get a commission on it. And I will tell you that anything we ever make from the Star Wars or from the Amazon store is going to go directly back into the podcast. Every single penny. It'll first pay for the necessities like the Star Wars in Character portion of the site hosting and the bandwidth through NeoZaz. And then whatever, if anything's left over after that, it'll go to improving the show. You know, things like maybe we can upgrade some equipment. We certainly want to do some show additions. We want to continue to do live broadcast and improve those. There's certainly room for improvement on that. We want to possibly broadcast our normal recording so that we can have the chat room, because the chat room was absolutely fantastic. And anything, if you can consider buying it through Amazon, you know, any purchase, if you were to do that, will certainly help, you know. There's no such thing as a one that's going to hurt. So that's enough of that shameless plug. And we're going to move on with the show here. So we are now up to episode 5 of the Star Wars in Character podcast. And this one is about Malakali, better known as the Rancor Keeper. And up to this point, Tim has shared some very interesting backstories. Some were pretty good. Some were not good at all. And some were just out there. I think, though, when Tim shared this particular story about the character on us, we weren't really ready for this level of, I don't even know what you would call it. So we're going to just go into and play it. This is the clip from episode 5, Malakali, called Eat at Malakali's.
But apparently, here we go. He has a post story after Return of
here
the Jedi.
Comes.
Oh, Lord.
Now, if you thought the first two were crazy.
Wait till you hear this one, man.
Wait till you hear this one. Okay,
you know this one,
ready.
Chris?
Yeah, I know exactly what he's going to say.
The Rancor Keeper was not on Jabba's barge when it exploded, so he does survive those events.
Okay, that's fair. That part, we're good so far, because sure.
Okay.
He was. Why would he be?
After Jabba died, he moves to Mos Eisley with Jabba the Hutt's cook. And opens a restaurant.
Okay.
Called the Crystal Moon.
Wow.
And there's a hidden fact is when as you walk in, dun, 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 dun. Okay. Blue Oyster, baby.
The Blue Oyster.
Okay. Crystal Moon Restaurant.
Wow. Okay. Restaurant. Now, so is Jabba's cook a character we see?
No. And I actually went to look him up to see if there's a photo of him. And the only picture I could find was like a video game character. So I guess this happens in a video game. I don't know. It's when I first saw that, I had to like, no.
Now here's something weird. I'm looking at the figure just to remind myself of the old figure. And I see there's this good picture of the packaging. He's holding a gaffy stick in his photo on the packaging.
Is he?
Yeah.
Let me look that up.
It must have been like a promotional shot or something.
Right, yeah. That's weird.
Huh. Well, at least
he still looks like Buddy Hackett to me. I always thought he was Buddy Hackett.
So he becomes a restaurateur.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes perfect sense now.
Plant Tatooine.
Him and Dexter from episode 2. Obi-Wan.
Oh, God.
Like, what do you know?
Fat slobs owning restaurant.
Pulling up his pants.
Pulling up his pants. Ass crack hanging out.
I noticed about this Rancor Keeper that he is dressed, other than the shirt, he's dressed like a Gamorrean guard.
Yeah.
He's
wearing, I thought you were going to say he's got MC Hammer pants.
He's wearing like the arm bands with the spikes on them. He's got the belt kind of thing. And I think he's wearing that kind of fur bikini thing.
Yeah, the fur underwear.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
So he stole his gaffy stick from a Tusken Raider and his shorts from a Gamorrean guard.
Well, there happens to be a backstory for that outfit, Dave. Let me share it with you.
I remember that when they put out the those Prince of Thieves action figures, the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, they reused some of the Star Wars molds, and I don't know if this one was reused in some fashion. I know
go ahead. Sorry, Tim.
They either used him or the Gamorrean guard for like Friar Tuck.
They did. They used the Gamorrean guard. I think it's for Little John, actually. Oh no, it may have been Friar Tuck. I take it back. Yes, they used the Gamorrean guard. Pretty much only replaced his head.
Yeah, it was Mike McShane, the guy from Who Lives in Anyway, and he was Friar Tuck.
Mike McShane was Friar Tuck in Prince of Thieves?
Yeah.
Wow, I totally didn't remember that.
They did that with a lot of the stuff. Sherwood Forest playset was the Ewok village.
Yeah. they put leaves on it.
And they use the Ewok like battle ram also as one of the vehicles.
They recycled their own toys in the Star Wars line. The droid factory turned out to be Jabba's droid torture chamber in years later.
With that one crane sticking out of the middle.
Well, I have that. That's my favorite fucking Star Wars toy ever, and I still have it.
That's awesome.
Even I'm ashamed to admit this, but I have in my little man cave both a Waterworld and Robin Hood Kevin Costner action figure. It's the same exact thing.
That's awesome.
One has gills and one doesn't.
One has an earring.
Yeah.
There's a picture. I can see it right here. I'm looking at the Robin Hood Kevin Costner. Yeah, it's the same figure. They may have changed paint jobs on it, but it's the same exact figure.
Yep.
Huh.
Crazy.
Awesome facts that are all made up.
So if this is your first time listening to anything from the Stars and Character podcast, or if you're a regular listener and subscriber, you've certainly noticed a pattern. We started with an original trilogy character, then a prequel, and have done that ever since and continue to do that. So with that in mind, we are up to episode 6 and on to a prequel character. And this particular character, I know I can certainly speak for myself, and I certainly think I speak for Dave, and I'm going to go out on a limb and think I'm going to speak for everyone on the show and say that we really expected or hoped for more from this character when we saw him in the previews and the commercials. The character we're talking about from episode 6 is episode 6 of the podcast is from episode 3 of the Star Wars saga, Revenge of the Sith. It is Teon Medon, and this clip is called So That's All He Does?
This guy, to me, is one of the most interesting and coolest looking Star Wars characters in all 6 movies. He is so amazing looking, and there's no reason for his being there other than to look amazing looking and sell an action figure. So
that scene is not necessary at all that he's in, that he speaks. In fact, he's in it. What was I watching? Oh, I was watching. I was trying to find the scene he was in on YouTube without having to, you know, lit up the DVD and all that crap. And I saw someone posted a video way back when, you know, back in the before the movie was out. And he was like one of the 4 sneak preview characters. So like right from the get go, they built him up. And I said this before, I think on another podcast, he was in every freaking commercial trailer.
Yeah.
He was like even in like the Love Story angle trailer, I think he made an appearance
smiling
in. I mean,
he was smiling away.
And then to see his actual part in the film, I was like, are you kidding me? That's it?
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned that on our other podcast. He was in every stinking trailer.
Yeah.
When he opens his mouth at a certain angle, you can see all of his teeth.
Yeah.
And it was like when you saw the trailer, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell is that? That's gonna
I
be.
Immediately... Yeah, I immediately thought he was going to be a bad guy. I thought so too. When I first saw him, because he looks evil. He's got red and gray, and he just got the sharp teeth. And yeah, you expect him to, you know,
He has a cane. He
just kicks some ass, like a third Sith Lord or something. I don't know, but yeah. But he turns out to be a port administrator.
His whole appearance sums up to my favorite impression is as General Grievous is not here. Psst, General Grievous is upstairs. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his whole. That's his entire role in this.
That's it. And then as he walks away, I think a person answers him like, "Are they going to send more Jedi?"
He didn't.
Yeah, he
say.
Didn't say.
I don't know.
Yeah. Shit, I forgot to ask that.
Well, that actually brings me up to my second fact. Tion had an additional scene written in the Revenge of the Sith script, but for whatever reason, the scene was left out. I don't know if they shot the full scene, but in the scene, he was interrogated by one of General Grievous's bodyguard droids. That they call them the IG-100 Magna droid. Those are those droids they fight up on the ship at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. Really cool droids. But the droid actually saw Obi-Wan Kenobi and was asking about him, and that's where that line "he didn't say" was originally part of that interrogation. So they may have shot that scene with the idea that they were going to have that droid in there, but for whatever reason, they decided to truncate it even more and throw another Utapauan into there just to make it whatever. The original scene written was he was being overseen by General Grievous the entire time, and he was being interrogated by one of the droids afterwards.
You can see there in that scene, you can see the Magna droid standing up on a higher platform watching the entire thing. And and that scene that you're talking about, that must have happened right after that.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the "he didn't say" was originally written to be a response to the droid asking him a question.
Well, we are halfway through our best of volume one, if you will, of the Star Wars in Character podcast. When I put this together, I wanted to try to find some kind of behind-the-scenes thing to share to kind of hit the halfway point. And the best thing I could find was that would translate over through video and audio, because this will be available as an audio download on iTunes, was something from the testing of the setup for the live show. I did a lot of different testing and a lot of preparation for that live show. A lot of it, a lot of technically boring stuff I'm not even going to get into. But once I got the program I'm currently using now and did use for the live show, the program that enables me to play clips and use the camera and put up displays, much like the one I have up right now, I enlisted the help of my wife, Christy, to help me test out the software. And you may recognize her voice. She is a voice that does the opening sequence of this podcast and Trailer Pod Boys. If you listen to Trailer Pod Boys, she does the opening and the news for that show. And she's a panelist on our podcast, The Gradies. So she is not what you might call a serious Star Wars fan. So we did kind of what is a mini mock episode of Star Wars in Character to see how everything works. So for this halfway point, I'm going to share this little couple-minute demo we did in preparation for the live show. Here's me and Christy doing a mini Star Wars in Character.
Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
This episode, we are talking about Shmi Skywalker. Shmi Skywalker appears in episodes 1 and 2. I think, and my name is Tion Maddon, and this week I'm joined by Christy Mundy. Yeah. Christy Mundy, share us some facts about Shmi Skywalker.
Well, what some folks don't know about Shmi Skywalker is that actually it was an attempt by George Lucas to link into another successful franchise of Captain Hook and Peter Pan.
Okay.
It's me.
So. I don't know. I don't even know what that even Smee. Means.
Smee.
No, what is the Smee part of that?
Smee was Captain Hook's first mate.
Okay. All right. Give us some better facts. Share us some better facts.
Smee Skywalker was a woman.
Yes. We had this discussion earlier on a previous test. Not a girl. Well, yeah, go. Just go.
Big on the inside.
Yeah.
Is it? I believe Smee Skywalker did not die of unnatural causes.
Wait, what? Did not die? No, that's. I think that's wrong.
Okay.
I think that sentence is wrong to begin with, and then on top of it, I think that fact is wrong.
Okay. She was best known for her love of small animals. Okay. And her dedication to their rescue. I don't know.
All right. All right. Time for trivia. You ready for your question?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, let me put the score up here. It's currently 0-0. Okay. What episode one? What episode? What the fuck? What the hell? Is this like the episode one edition? What first name did Anakin's mother have?
Smee.
Hey, I wasn't sure you were going to get that, to be honest. Okay, my question. Oh, my God. Seriously? I think I grabbed the episode one pack.
Too bad for you?
What Imperial leader's uniform boasted 12 rank insignias? I honestly don't know this. I am going to say... Captain. Oh. Tarkin's. Well, I'm wrong. Okay, let me give you another question so I can test out the scoreboard. You ready?
Yep.
What character was told you certainly have a way with people?
That would be Princess Leia.
Nah, try again. I'm going to give you a mulligan because I need to test the scoreboard. You need to get this right.
Han Solo.
Hey, good job. I really thought this was going to go on for another 5 minutes. Okay, so what was that? I couldn't see that. I had a split screen. Oh, my God. Oh, anyway. Okay, that's it for this test episode of Star Wars in Character. Join us next test when we will talk about... You pick a character. Who's your favorite Star Wars character we could talk about?
I would like to say the Salacious Crumb.
That's actually not bad. Is that because he's a Muppet?
Yep.
That's what I figured. Okay, thanks for joining us on this test, and next time we'll be back with Salacious Crumbness. Okay, so back to some more clips on this Best of Star Wars in Character podcast. We are up to episode 7, and this clip's got a little bit of everything that at least I like and seems to be kind of a listener favorite items. I'm not even sure what I meant to say there, but what I'm trying to say is we got some talk about the character, we got some action figure talk, we have a celebrity encounter story, and we have what quickly became my favorite part of the show early on and continues to be, Dave timing the amount of time that these obscure characters are on screen. So we are talking about Bosk in this episode, and this clip is entitled "Thanks for Flying."
Now, have you guys met this guy? Is his name Harris? Is that his last
Alan
name?
Harris, yes.
Yeah, Bosk was played by Alan Harris. We just met him at Celebration 5. This is the first time we had met him. I always assumed that we were never going to meet him because he would never do conventions in the United States, ever. You would always see him doing all these things over in Europe. It's like, oh, but he never comes over to the U.S. And apparently we had heard that he had a fear of flying. So when we went to the convention, I went up to him. I don't think, Chris, you weren't with me when I went up. I think I just went up by myself, and I kind of thanked him. I said, "Oh, thank you for coming to this. I understand that you have a fear of flying." And he went on to explain. He's like, "Well, no, it wasn't really me. My wife always had a fear of flying, so I would never fly for her sake. But she passed away last year, and so I'm able to fly now." And,
all aboard!
Wow.
Yeah, and at that point, you're just sort of like,
"Well, that's good.
What do you say?" Yeah, it's like, "Well, thank thank you. Thank your wife for me for passing away. Well, so I can get your autograph on my poster.
She said, lucky me, your wife died.
Yeah.
we were so excited seeing his name announced as one of the
guests. Because, like, to me, he's like number two behind Boba Fett. He's like one of the coolest characters in any Star Wars medium anywhere. You know, movies, cartoons, anything. He's like one of my favorites. Well, actually, probably is my favorite.
Why do you feel that way? I think, and not that you're alone. I think at least I know I feel the same way. Yeah. And most people do. Why do you think that is? Because I timed it out. This is my favorite thing to do. Because I was convinced. I'll ask you guys now. You know, the famous scene of Piet that we just talked about, and his toes are hanging over the little ledge there.
Yeah.
What do you think is greater, FaceTime or toe time on screen?
I think just because you're asking, it's got to be toe time.
Toe time.
I thought so too. Toe time, 10.8 seconds. FaceTime, 12.4.
Oh, you tricked me.
I was in the same.
Okay, that's true.
Total of 23.2 seconds, yet he is one of the most beloved Star Wars characters.
He looks so badass, just standing there with that awesome gun. I always, though, had a problem with his arms never, like, looking like they bend.
I know.
I never saw elbows on his arms.
He always, his action figure for like those vintage ones just looks spot on. It looks so good.
Yeah.
When you compare some of those old figures, and I think that was part of it. He just had such a nice looking figure, just like Boba Fett. Boba Fett had a great looking figure.
Yeah.
So as a kid, when you're playing, you want to play with the neat looking guys.
Yeah. As far as the costumes went, I mean, if you couldn't dress up as Boba Fett and you had to be a bounty hunter, he had to be your second choice. I mean, who wants to dress up like Zuckuss or Dengar?
Dengar was always like to me like the quirky of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, I thought he just got out of like a street fight or something. Just got back from getting his ass whooped. Okay, we are up to episode 8 from the Stars and Character podcast, and we're on to a prequel character. Now, I don't think it's a secret to anyone that's heard the show that I'm not a big fan. I'm just not a fan of the prequels. Sorry, I know a lot of people are. I'm not, and that's fine. I'd say, I guess Chris, or maybe Dave, is probably the next least big fan. I don't know what that exactly means. Dave's probably the one who likes them the least after me, is I guess where I was trying to say there. Chris, I think, is more tolerant of them, somewhat a fan of more parts of the prequels than Dave, and Tim is without a doubt a prequel fan. That's been clear on the show many times. And I honestly thought there was no way in hell Tim would ever say anything bad about anything in the prequels. And this clip I'm about to play completely shocked me. So the name of this clip is what shocked me. We're talking about Kit Fisto in this episode of the podcast, and the name of this clip is Tim Hates Mace Windu.
After it was revealed that Palpatine was a Sith in Revenge of the Sith, he was one of the four Jedi Masters to go to confront him, and this is where he finally meets his doom. He was the third one to go down after Aegon Kolar and Sacy Teen. And in the movie, he just sort of gets slashed across the chest and just hits the ground and dies. But in the book, it's a lot more brutal. And according to the book, Palpatine beheaded Kit Fisto, and then after...
And then picked him up by two tentacles and started jump roping with his head.
Well, when Anakin comes into the office, he sees that Kit Fisto's head is lying on Palpatine's desk with a smile on his face.
Jeez.
Smiling to the very end.
This is in the novelization.
I would have loved to have seen that in the movie. Yeah. That, I think we got cheated.
Yet again. I think we're starting to convert Tim, Dave.
I think we got cheated. I know. It's like the book. It's like, how wouldn't you want to see this guy's bloody stumpy head lying on a desk, all like cloudy eyed, but with a nice little like serene smile?
Yeah.
Well, great.
Those first two guys, Sacy Teen, he was like the ram looking. He looks like a ram.
Yeah.
And Agent Kolar is
like, it's like cat looking guy, right?
He's like a little Darth Maul horns.
I think.
Of his head. They go down like bitches.
Yeah. They walk in the room. Oh.
One of them, I think, gives the like the one, when he dies, he goes down crying like a little bitch.
Well, so does when he finds. I mean, this is again why I guess he's my favorite of these Jedis, because to me he is a heroic character, at least a little bit. We looked at it, he gets two blocks in.
Yeah.
And then he gets it across like the stomach, and he makes a sound too when he goes down.
Like whoa,
smile.
Does he talk on the Clone Wars cartoon?
He does. He's voiced by Phil LaMarr, who all of us here know as Marvin from Pulp Fiction.
That is perfect, actually.
Yeah. I shot Marvin in the face.
If Phil LaMarr couldn't do it, then he'd have to be a game show host voice, because that's the only other thing that would fit that face.
But Phil LaMarr does the voice in a Jamaican accent. And you know, the dreadlocks and everything. It is kind of stereotyping.
I think Phil LaMarr does the Jamaican guy in Futurama, doesn't he?
I think so.
So he's not even.
Phil LaMarr does a lot of
great.
He's
cycling voices. That's even worse.
Hey, Mom. But Kit Fisto appears in one of the coolest episodes from the first season of Clone Wars, where they go into General Grievous's lair. And you actually get to, without them actually telling you it in a story, they kind of give you this really neat background info on where General Grievous came from, just from like these different statues you see and this different artwork all around the building that they're in. And it's a pretty neat episode. It's almost like a horror episode where like Jedi are just getting picked off one by one by these different traps and booby traps set up all around. It's a really neat episode. So I would recommend checking that one out if you ever get the chance, because it is pretty cool.
He's the little bit of research that I did, because I knew that Tim does such a good job, I didn't want to do too much research, but I did see that this is all extended universe stuff, but it's within the movie. They say that when they're about to leave to go confront the Emperor or the Chancellor, that he has a conversation with Sacy Teen that he wishes it wasn't Mace Windu that was going along, that it was Yoda, because
Yoda or Obi-Wan, yeah.
Right, he'd feel more comfortable. Like he's questioning whether or not Mace Windu can get the job done.
Ooh.
And Sacy Teen kind of tells him to shut his pie hole. Did you see that too, Tim?
Yeah, I saw that. I hate Mace Windu.
I'm
right there. I hate Mace Windu.
Oh my god! You're saying something bad about something in the prequels. I am beside myself.
Do I hate Mace Windu? I find him so just awful. I can't stand him. He just annoys me every time I see him on screen. Every time
this is the best episode we've done yet.
I'm going to be right there with you. I hate Mace Windu. I can't stand him. And I love Sam Jackson. I hate Mace Windu.
You are watching the special impromptu live Best of Star Wars in Character podcast episode, or you're watching it on our website, or you've downloaded it from our iTunes feed. Either way, it's all one and the same, and I thank everyone in any manner they're watching or listening to this for joining me. This was our plan B for the 25th episode live event we had a week ago, in case Hurricane Irene knocked out communications between us and Pennsylvania. It did not, as you are probably aware, but we decided to do this anyway since we were taking a week off between that episode and our regular episode, so this will fill in that gap. I'm going to take a minute to quick talk about our other podcast. We have quite a few podcasts at neozaz.com, including The Greaties, The Great 80s Movie Debate, where a regular panelist of movie reviewers, or movie fans more actually, take a look at some of the classic movies of the 80s and see if they still hold up today. There's the Trailer Pod Boys podcast, which is the podcast dedicated entirely to the iconic Canadian sitcom Trailer Park Boys. There's some new podcasts on the horizon for neozaz.com, including one called The Pilot Project, which takes a look at some of the more famous and classic TV shows from the point of view of their pilot episode, as well as the, which is right now the working name is the Sofa Trivia Game Show, which is a live streamed game show on live stream, of course, and on the audio broadcast on Stitcher, as well as downloadable on iTunes. Those should be coming hopefully by the end of the year. We'll see. They're both in development. So moving on with the this podcast, we are now up to what is so far probably my favorite episode we've done yet. It is episode 9. We talk about Jack Porkins from episode 4, A New Hope of the Star Wars Saga. I like this episode for a lot of reasons. I think Dave, Chris, and Tim are very funny in this episode. I like the character. I like the actor. And I think the backstory that Tim provided pre and post what we know about this character gave us some good information to talk about. So, without any further ado, we'll get to that clip from episode 9 of the Star Wars in Character podcast. We're talking about Jack Porkins, and this clip is called Eject.
When Porkins dies, this is something I never understood. He's dying. His last words are, "No, I'm all right." Ah! And he blows up. But he was talking with Biggs the whole time, and for some reason, Biggs is telling him to eject.
I know.
Where is he going to eject to?
I always thought that too. Like, eject? What?
If he ejects, he's going to land on the surface of the Death Star, which is the big thing they're planning on blowing up.
Like he's got no face mask, or he's not in a pressure suit. Yeah. He's going to be in the void of space. Eject, you'll live 3 seconds longer until you pop.
I never thought of that.
I never thought of that either.
I think I would rather blow up than to either suffocate in the dark, cold space.
I'd try to bring my ship in on the surface of the Death Star, you know, so I'm still intact in a pressurized thing, and hopefully someone can pick me up. I'm not going to eject. Biggs is an asshole.
Birthing is stuck in the fucking window.
He ejects and he only launches 6 inches. And he would look like that Family Guy cartoon. Oh, this is so terrible. I like this guy, this actor, from what I've been reading about him. Yes, I should make fun of him.
Of the actor.
I got to think about him when we get to that, too.
We'll talk about Bill in a little bit.
Bill.
We're on a first name basis, Bill and I.
He's the first one to die.
Is he?
He's the first of the fallen in the Battle of Yavin, yeah. It's just like you said. He's like, Biggs is like, "Cover me, Porkins." He's like, "I'm right with you." And he's like, "I got a problem here. Shit." Yeah, he's a fan today.
Now, for some reason, I have lost my Star Wars DVD. So I have the entire saga except for Star Wars. So I wasn't able to go back.
You only own one of all the versions that are released?
I need to either go and buy the disc now at Target. It's on sale for like $13, or just wait for the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But,
I thought it was mandatory for any Star Wars fan to own 8 copies.
Well, I have the original theatrical, a bootleg of that, but it doesn't play very well. I'm told that after he dies, at some point during the battle, someone else calls for Red 6, which was his call sign. So Porkins is long dead at this point, but I'm told that somewhere in there, right after he dies, another pilot calls for Red 6.
Do you think this was a mistake?
Yeah, because originally when he had signed up, I don't know who makes these decisions, but he was originally designated Red 4, mm-hmm. and they changed it at the last minute. So that may have been the reason that someone called Red 6 in the editing and Lucas just didn't notice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, apparently he's Red 6. Red 6 dies. At some point after that, someone else calls for Red 6. Obviously, he doesn't get an answer.
It says John D. Yeah, became Red 4.
Well, Chris brought up, and I was confused about this too. You said there was a malfunction in his ship.
Yeah,
it's kind of hazy how he dies because he's in the middle, like Tim said, of being disintegrated, and he says, "No, I'm all right." But in between that, they show these two shots, pretty bad shots, of this green cannon fire, the cannons that are shooting from the surface of the Death Star.
Yeah.
And then he just explodes. Does he explode because he's been hit by something or just because there's something wrong with his ship?
I always thought he was shot down, but
yeah, that's always how I
according to this, it was a mechanical malfunction.
Yeah, you don't really see his ship get hit with anything. They show the green cannon fire, but they don't show it hit his ship.
Yeah.
There was something on Wikipedia saying that there was something he didn't set to adjust for his weight.
Oh God, are you
kidding
me?
And that's why he went down.
That's terrible.
I'm not, I'm not going to look through the entire article, but I did read something where they hypothesize that he didn't adjust something for his weight, and that's why he went down.
Says here, his fighter was hit by the Imperial weapons emplacement, bursting into fiery fragments and killing Porkins immediately.
Okay, because I read what Tim read, and I read what you read, and I even read the thing about his weight. And when you watch the movie, he never gets hit by anything.
No.
So if you've been listening this long, it's because I'm sure you've been waiting for our next clip. It's the clip I'm sure everyone has been waiting for. We actually managed to somehow pull a clip from episode 10 of the podcast, the one featuring the one, the only, Chancellor Valorum. And that means that we actually had to listen to this episode again to find one. So that tells you the dedication we've had to putting together this best of show. So without any further ado, because I know you're all waiting for it, here is our clip from episode 10 of Star Wars in Character of Chancellor Valorum entitled...
Well, I'll say something positive about at least that scene. For as boring as episode 1 was, the trade routes and whatnot, that scene looked pretty cool. I liked the way they did the Senate. I thought it was a cool idea, and with the floating things, and you get to see all the different species. And in mm-hmm. fact, that's when people are watching it and scouring over it. You see the Wookiees and you see the ETs.
Yeah. Yes.
At least there was that. Like it was kind of visually cool to look at, even if there was nothing going on.
A lot of them talking with some cool scenery.
Yeah, it was a cool concept for what their government would look like. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Not me.
His outfit was kind of cool. He kind of looked like he was from Oz.
What? The first scene he's in, he's wearing a gray sheet.
when he's wearing the blue cloak.
Oh, Oz or a hobo?
You mean Oz, the HBO prison show?
Yeah. So he's going into the showers.
Easy access.
And I still never understand. I assume we're never going to do an episode on Queen Amidala or Padme Amidala.
No.
Dear Lord, no.
Yeah, why when she was the queen did she take on that affect, that accent? Like, I vote for a vote of no confidence in general.
I am going to be very monotone and boring. Anything you've ever found attractive of me is now gone. Thank you, George.
That was weird. It's like Clark Kent, you know, with the glasses on or off.
Even he was endearing as a bumbling buffoon. She's just a boring, plain white piece of paper.
I think that affect was put in afterwards because, if I remember correctly, the trailers, they had Natalie Portman's actual, like, unaffected voice in the trailers. If I'm remembering correctly, I may not be, but...
Probably not. You're a little blinded by your love of the prequels.
I think you're right, Tim, because I remember working in a movie theater, seeing that trailer. We used to put the trailers on by hand. I would always put that on first, so when I would start the movie, I could watch it over and over and over again. And she does the thing about how I will not sit and watch my people suffer and die while you discuss it in a committee. She's got a lot of emotion in her voice.
Yep.
And then when you go to the movie, it's a vote of no confidence. You know, it's almost robotic.
Yeah. So we can only hope that in the real world that we'll finally get to read The Holding Back the Tide, his autobiography. I hope they do publish that. Del Rey.
Me too.
Put that out. I'll buy that.
I'm surprised there's not a mock copy.
I'm sorry, someone hasn't actually written it and posted it on as a page.
They should put that and that other one that I told you, the Lot Dodd book. Put both of those out at the same time, and we'll see which one sells better in
great
the real world. I'll read them.
I'm surprised that there's not, and maybe there is, like campaign posters of Chancellor Valorum, like Obama, like, yes, we can, but his is like, no, you can't.
There is a vote no confidence in Chancellor Valorum Facebook page.
Is there?
That is not my website, but there is a vote no confidence in Chancellor Valorum Facebook page.
How many people have?
I didn't even look at it. It came up in my search results, and I was like, I am not clicking on this shit.
I may do a little research on that.
You are watching the special impromptu best of Star Wars in Character webcast slash online video slash podcast was our backup plan in case we could not do our 25th episode as planned. But of course we did. But we decided to do this special best of anyway. If you are new to this podcast, you can find us on iTunes. Just look for Star Wars in Character on iTunes and join and subscribe, and you'll not miss an episode, obviously, but you'll be able to check out our old episodes and any new ones that come down the pike. If you are already a subscriber but have not left us a review, we'd certainly appreciate that if you could. The more reviews we get, the more attention we get to iTunes, the easier it is for everyone to find the podcast. And certainly half the fun of doing this podcast has been interacting with other Star Wars fans that listen, particularly on our Facebook page and on our website and on these live episodes. So moving on with the best of episode, we're coming into the home stretch here. We got two more clips to go. We are at episode 11. We're back to the original trilogy. And this one is about Nine Numb, which we found out after doing this episode is a lot of people's, maybe not their number one favorite character, but a favorite character of theirs. In fact, before we did the episode, the reason that he was even picked in the first place was Chris had the opportunity to ask Kevin Smith, the director, at one of his live shows, who his favorite Star Wars, obscure Star Wars character was, and he said Nine Numb, and that's where that choice came from. Now, the interesting thing about this clip is that Chris usually saves his, witty sarcasm or his attacks, in a sense, to prequel characters or Tim. I'm sorry, Tim, but it's true. But in this one, he seemed to have a problem with Nine Numb. So we're going to go ahead and play this clip. It's about Nine Numb from episode 11 of the podcast, and it is entitled Chris Has Something to Say.
I got something to say about Nine Numb.
Okay.
Tell us.
He doesn't lift a goddamn fucking finger in that goddamn Falcon. He's sitting there. You don't see his hands touch no buttons, no fucking brakes, nothing. He's laughing at Lando the whole fucking time.
And he has a look of shock on his face when one of the Mon Calamari cruisers blows up.
He doesn't co-pilot anything.
He's a puppet. What do you expect him to do?
I want him to touch a button.
Swedish chef holds all kinds of stuff. I mean, come on, man.
Stop, go, something. He just sat there and looked at Lando and laughed at him constantly.
Well... I think he's actually the one that discovers that the shield is still up, isn't he?
Yeah, there you go, you son of a bitch.
Did he point at it? Oh, wait, he doesn't.
He goes, and they're like, what? And then he like draws a little picture of the Death Star and then another circle around it. Is that a shield? It's like Pictionary with the guy. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't have hands. Shit, that fucks up that whole idea.
He didn't do a damn thing. He was a fucking waste.
I think you're being a little hard on Nine Numb because...
Yeah, come on, man. What did he ever do to you?
He set
all of the scanners. He did everything.
How?
With his feet.
What did Lando do? He like pulled one switch.
Yeah, Lando just leans over and kisses him on the cheek. That's it.
You sure that's his cheek?
They don't know we're coming. Oh, flip the switch, and that's all he does. So Lando's about as effective as whatever the fuck this guy. Nina
And Lando understands him.
Yeah, he does. I read that. He's the only one who speaks.
And that's because they've met before, you said, Tim.
They've met before. They met while they were smuggling equals.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they were smuggling. Probably spice.
Well, he does find out that the Death Star is operational. And he does sit there with his mouth wide open and his ears wiggle, but I don't know what you expected him to do.
Hold a wheel. Do something.
There's no wheel.
Hold. Show your hands.
Well, what did Chewbacca do other than punch controls when things got rough? I mean, he didn't do that much up to the things got bad. Then he just started punching shit.
Yeah.
Chris.
If 9-9 was giving Lando a goddamn hand job the whole time.
Maybe it was. That's why Lando is so on his game.
It relaxes him.
When I watched the movie, when I watched the scenes and he talked, I wanted to see if it translated it. So I put the subtitles on and all it says is speaking alien language. Because I want to know what he was saying.
Harder, faster.
Oh. The other thing I want to know is why does everyone assume that he's Asian?
Look at him.
People say like that he's like an Asian character. Is it because of the language that he's speaking sounds somewhat Chinese?
I don't think it's a language.
No?
You know what? As weird as this sounds, I thought
it actually is a language.
Oh, okay. Then Tim might give it away if I, and I might be wrong.
No, so go on. We'll get to that.
I was gonna say, I might be wrong, so I'll just wait till let's see what the answer is. Then I won't look as stupid as I usually do. So we are to our final clip for this best of episode of the Stars and Character podcast. We're up to episode 12. We're back to a prequel character. And in this episode, we are discussing Dexter Jetster from episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And we never actually made this statement, but I think by the end of this conversation, we were in all agreement that this might be one of the creepier scenes from the Star Wars saga. So to wrap up the show, we're going to finish it off with this clip entitled Giddy as a Schoolgirl.
No, knowing Dex's colorful and varied past, Obi-Wan frequently utilizes Dex's worldly knowledge to gain info and insight on missions and tasks, which is where we see them in episode 2.
Which is weird, because when Obi walks in the thing, Norm, and they all know his name. Why, when he sees Dexter, he looks so fucking giddy like a schoolgirl.
I'm telling you, there is some homoeroticism going on there, some creepy sexual predator kind of things going on from Dex towards him.
Because when he hugged him with his two top arms, where the two bottom arms at?
Yeah, well, pulling up his pants. Come on.
So hilarious. He like, and just like Chris Hansen-ness was going to pop out soon. You know what I mean? It was just weird thing to watch, I thought.
I bought a pack or two of the latest edition of Star Wars Galaxy, and I don't know exactly how they number the cards. This one is card number 16 over 621. And there is a picture of Ewan McGregor an artist representation of Ewan McGregor smiling with Dexter behind him, putting his arm around. It looks like he's about to stroke the scruff of his chin. It is so homoerotic picture. And I'm going to take a photo of it. And I'll pop it up on our Facebook page when this pops up.
Well, other than that, and this scene being horrible because of the Earth-like things that we talked about, to me, the whole scene kind of undermines Obi-Wan. These guys are supposed to be like all-knowing and powerful, and he's coming to some hash slinger to get information. It makes Obi-Wan seem like a putz,
a doofus. Yeah,
and like you said, he's like
he looks so giddy.
Yeah.
And the other thing that bothers me about Ewan McGregor, because I love Ewan McGregor, I think we all like him to some degree. He's an awesome actor, but that whole movie goes from his actual hair and beard to wig and plastered on beard constantly from scene to scene, and it's annoying as hell. Even within that scene, he goes from real hair to wig to real hair to wig.
Yeah, he does. And his head's the only thing real in the whole shot. As he hugs him, the whole body, the cape, the arms are all CGI.
That's what you said, when they hug?
Yeah, when they hug, it's all just fake shit except for the head flip.
That whole scene is so obviously fake. Everything, the scenery, most of the set. What's really distracting is the stuff going on in the background on the windows. I can't stand watching that scene. That's one of the hardest ones to watch in terms of like just really obvious CGI in the prequels, for me at least.
Yeah, it's so obvious that was all fucking just fake shit.
Yeah.
Well, you see the Sebulba characters back there just like talking away, but you can't hear any voice. You just see their mouths moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of assorted aliens. The Sebulba looking guys, there's Greedo looking guys. And Ewan McGregor.
his
floating head. I mean, I can only imagine the directing of that scene.
He looks so happy and giddy, like a little schoolgirl.
So that does it for this best of episode of the Stars and Character podcast. I want to thank you for joining me, be it live or be it viewing the video online or downloading the episode through iTunes. Whichever way you're watching this, we certainly appreciate your support. Again, I'm going to mention one more time that shameless plug that if you would like to help support the show, you can do that easily by visiting our Amazon store at www.swic.niazaz.com/shop or visit our homepage and click on the Amazon link at the top of the page. Anything you buy at that shop gives us a little bit of a commission, and that gets dumped all right back into the show, every single penny. And we appreciate everyone that's already done it, and anyone considering doing it, we certainly appreciate you even thinking about it. So you can visit our homepage, which I just mentioned was swic.neozaz.com, and our parent page, neozaz.com, for all of our podcasts. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, Star Wars in Character on iTunes, and subscribe and get updated with all the latest episodes to come. And we have a Facebook page. Just search for Star Wars in Character on Facebook and click the like button. That's where many of our announcements go. In fact, we have some off-show topics going on. Like right now, we have an obscure character face-off where I think Dave is picking 64, is either 32 or 64 characters to face off to see who is the most obscure. So, and that is only taking place on Facebook. So you can check that out there. So I think with that, I will say once again, thank you for listening or watching or both. And thank you for everything you listened to before. And we will be back to our regular schedule for a few episodes. Episode 26 is coming up featuring Yaddle. And that is followed by episode 27 featuring IG-88, which is the character that was voted on our Facebook page by the listeners who beat us in the trivia challenge in our 25th live episode special. So thanks again for participating in that, and congratulations for beating us, and we look forward to doing that special episode. So, finally, wrapping this up, I will say, once again, and because I can't say it enough, thank you for listening, and we will see you on the next episode of Star Wars in Character.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.